morning, everybody. If you're just tuning in, this is the East Tacoma Church of Christ, and here in the Northwest, it's an absolutely beautiful day. Hope it is great wherever you are as well. As we come through somewhat troublesome times, there's health problems, this kind of problem, and that kind of problem. I wondered, how thankful are we? Well, we tend to get focused on the problems rather than on the thankfulness. And a scripture we're familiar with and we think about from time to time is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and down in verse 18, don't we? Where Paul just says, in everything give thanks. Now it's interesting, that congregation, Thessalonica, up there in the Macedonia area, they had enormous persecution. And they were after Paul, and he had to move on down the line to Amphipolis, Apollonia, Berea, and then Athens and Corinth. But to the congregation that had the troubles is the congregation who Paul said, in everything give thanks. Well, how in the world can you give thanks in the midst of trouble? And that people struggle with that because we focus on the problem rather than on the solution. And some people might say, how can you be thankful where at today's date, August 9, 165,000 people just in the U.S. have deaths that people attributed to COVID-19. There's been riots in major cities, racial unrest, political upheaval, economic crisis. Individuals and families, regardless of all of that, they got their own. We have our own stuff. Wow, how amazing. And God would say, in everything, give thanks. Well, as I considered that, we appreciate, and we mentioned last week, John 16:33. Jesus said, in the world you have tribulation. Everywhere you look. Well, yeah, but in the good old days. There weren't any good old days. There were just old days. They had problems then. Our grandparents, their great-great. There's always problems. That's part of life. They had problems in the Garden of Eden, right? Satan was there. They had problems with Cain and Abel, and Moses had problems, and Joshua had problems. That's just a part of life. But Jesus said, in me you have peace. And that's the difference. All the stuff and the chaos can swirl round about us, but we can be the calm in the center of that storm. I came across a graphic that I liked. It said, the most beautiful way to start and end the day is with a grateful heart. If we're really going through heavy-duty problems, we get up, oh boy, here's today, and we're dreading the day, and the problems or pain or reversals or everything else. Somebody suggested, and in these later years, I like getting up, and I don't think about it every single morning, but that aspect of getting up and saying, God, what great things do you have planned for me today? Isn't that better than, oh no, I got to face Monday or something along that line? It really changes one's whole attitude. Sometimes as you're on your way to church, maybe you're aware of problems or there's a dispute or something. What if when you get here, before you get out of your car, you hold hands with your family and just pray? You can pray in the evening, thanking God for the good things that he has provided. So I thought about, well, Paul, if we're going to talk about this idea of thankfulness, because we talked about five ways that a crisis makes us better. So let's talk a little bit about our own attitude. And I thought, well, rather than just take us in the 21st century, and here's, you know, six things, nine things we ought to do, I thought, let's go back to the Bible and see what they prayed about, what they gave thanks for, and to see if we're really on track. And so what did Bible characters give thanks for? In Psalm chapter 7 and in verse 11, the psalmist says, God is a righteous judge. Now there's some judges in our political judicial system boy, they're just on the take and bribes and they don't care, or they've got just an extremist attitude. And here's the facts. Here's how they ought to rule, and they're not ruling in that direction. The Bible says God is a righteous judge. You can always depend on him to make the right decision. And so he says, I will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness. That he does those right things that the judge of the universe ought to do. And so then that got my mind thinking about in verse 11 and in verse 4. He said, his eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. So I just picked up a little tuning instrument here. You know, if it had real tiny writing on the back, and so I'd maybe put it under a light and I squint down, and you want to get that in focus because you're really trying to check it out, right? And so you really want to know the details of something. And so that's kind of the imagery that is used for God in relationship to man. And the Lord tests the righteous and the wicked. That is, oh yeah, they're kind of all pretty much the same. Oh no, all right. How's that Paul Mitchell guy doing there? Check that guy out a little closer. And that's what God does with all of us. He does, I don't care. You know, just sweep them all up into one bundle. That's not how God does it. And then he began thinking about the enormity of the project, I'll say. I looked it up just this morning. Earth population is over 7.5 billion people on Earth alive right now. And then with that, you think of Psalm 139 and verse 2. Here's where David, in speaking, he said, he understands my thought from afar. Before I even think the thought, he knows what I'm going to think. And so you can see little kids, if they're passing by a pet store and some little puppies, they say, oh, mommy, daddy. You don't even have to hear them. You know what's coming next. Or you're going past an ice cream Dairy Queen on a hot summer day. Oh, that's all you need to hear. You know what they're going to say. They're not going to say, oh, I wouldn't want to go there. I want to pass that up and eat asparagus and broccoli for dinner, and I don't want to spoil my appetite. That's not what they'd say. You know what they're going to say. He says, God, you know our thoughts, my thoughts from afar. Not only he knows what I think, that Proverbs 16 verse 2 says that all the ways of a man are right in his own sight. Oh yeah, I'd have written, I did. That was a good idea. But the Lord weighs the motives. For 7.5 billion people, he has to hear every conversation simultaneously, understand the language, know their thoughts behind the language, and the motives behind the thoughts. And time is irrelevant. Frequently we'll go to Peter, but here's an interesting statement made prior to that by Moses, Psalm chapter 90 and verse 4. Like 1,000 years are like yesterday in his sight. So we can remember yesterday pretty good. I got to think about that. I know what I did yesterday. I got up, got working on some household things, took some things to the recycle drop-off point, came to the church building, went home, worked on a house project, worked on my... I remember what I did. Paul, tell me what you did 3 years ago on today's date. Man, I can't tell you for sure what I did 3 weeks ago. Why? It's just the joyous, fuzzy stuff that happens in life. I don't write it down. I don't commit it to memory. I'm just moving through doing whatever God would have me to do. Except God remembers. And if I say, well, that's something I did 50 years ago, it doesn't matter. In God's mind, it's like 2 hours ago. It's like an hour ago. Well, Paul, what were you doing at, 9:45? I was here. We were ready. And so I can remember that. God said, that's how I know. Time passage is irrelevant. And whether we're righteous or wicked, God knows. And he can know everybody. and judge everybody just right. And so David says, God, I am so thankful you are a righteous God. Think if your enemy, you had to go to court and your enemy was the judge. Oh no, this is not going to turn out well. Well, what if your best friend was the judge and, you know, he's bribable? He said, no, what if your father is the judge and he's absolutely loving and absolutely just? David said, God, I am so thankful that you are that way. Well, what way is that? Well, the four living creatures round the throne say, holy, holy, holy. And they're the entire time, they are ascribing to God that his nature is absolutely flawless. That's the Father we serve. And so 1 Peter 1:15 through 17 saying, since we serve a God like that, be yourselves holy in all manner of living. He said, okay, God, I'm so thankful you're that way. Help me to be that way too. That's what David thanked God for, and we should as well. Then I thought about another aspect of what these Bible characters praise God about. Psalm 106 and verse 1 said, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. You say, Paul, well, why do you have a waterfall there with this text? Just helps illustrate the idea of God's love never runs out. What if it's, all right, man, I've done. I loved you yesterday, but man, I am worn out with you. I am so tired. You are so flaky, and you've done the same wrong things four times. And so it's all over. The psalmist says no. In Psalm 103 and verse 10, he does not, New International Version reading said, he does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. He said, I know you did, that's what's wrong. Are you sorry? God, I am really sorry. Are you going to do better? I am going to do better. He said, okay. New start, new day. But wow, God, you are so tender in your care for us. Verse 11, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he's removed our transgressions from us. You don't have to keep a ledger of it and remind yourself and beat yourself up or fret about, well, God, are you remembering what I did at this period of time? God said, the past is past. It's erased. We've moved on. This is a new day. You are a new person. You are a new creature in Christ, created for good works. And so that's how you grow in Christ. And the Bible writers thank God that he was a righteous God and that he is a loving God. That's hard for some people. If you had a physical parent that was really abusive or just absent or abdicates, he's there but you know really doesn't have much interaction with the family, or unfair, or however it is. Or if you had a dad that's really a great guy, then you have a sense of your father may have represented the way a loving father ought to be. And the psalmist said, I'm so thankful, God, that you forget the past. And we mention from time to time, people say, yeah, but I can't forgive myself. And we repeatedly tell people, in the Bible, there is no reference where there's some kind of data that you have to check off where then you forgive you. It is not a biblical principle for you to forgive you. That's within the providence of God. It's your responsibility to grow. And what we're really talking about is you're grieving over failures in the past. And so you say, God, I want to do better. I do want to grow. I want you to be all that you've created me to be. I am sorry that I didn't live up to it in the past. I want to do that in the future. And you are such a great God to be patient with me. What did the Bible characters give thanks for? Well, Psalm 103 and verse 2 said, praise the Lord, O my soul. Not just the outer parts. I don't want to just raise my hand joyously, you know, and have my lips move. That I want it to be the inside of me. God, I want you to know with all my heart and soul, I praise you. Praise the Lord, O my soul, who heals all your diseases. Verse 4, who redeems your life from the pit. Verse 5, who satisfies your life with good things. And so we think about things, even here in our congregation. You say, well, yeah, there is all this craziness out in society. Well, Paul, do you get involved in it? No. Do you go down there and start protesting? No. Do you go down there and dressed in some counter-revolutionary stuff and try to stop them? No. That's not my job. Do you follow it every day on TV? No. It's just depressing. That's not my job. My job is to preach God's word, to try to live it and encourage others. What craziness people are determined to do, that's not my job to stop. Praise the Lord, O my soul, who heals all your diseases. And some need healing. As we had mentioned in our announcements, we've been praying for Austin Garner and Lacey, his sister, and Mike McCauley, who's banged up his knee. Some are doing better, but we've been praying for and we're thankful for their improvement. Dennis Larson and Jim Myers, and some the joyous recovery like Sally Honeysett, Nell Hazelwood, or Jeff Soto. God, you are so good. You are the great healer. And some are continuing in deliverance. And then, who satisfies your life with good things. So I just thought about a handful of things that we talk about from time to time, right? We're glad to have them. But when the negative thing come, we're focusing on the negative rather than, oh yeah, that's there. But all the rest of the good things are too. And so I just thought of beautiful things that I'd like to consider. Today is really a pretty day. You get up this morning and sunshine and blue sky and fluffy clouds and such as that. And that's great. Yeah, but it's storming somewhere and there's cyclones and hurricanes and volcanoes. But I can't control that. I can thank God for what he's doing right now. God, what's it going to be this winter? I don't know what's going to be like this winter. But I can thank God for the beauty of right now. And relative health. Paul, are you 100%? I'm not 100%, but pretty good. And I'm thankful for that. Yeah, but what if you was 20 years old? And what if nobody's going back? If you're past the 20s, you're not going back to the 20s. But you can be in pretty good health. You could have this or that not working very good, but the other part's working great. And you thank God for the good things that are. How about just the gift of sight? Being able to see friends. I appreciate something Paul Mitchell said last week. After services, it came up. And, of course, with COVID-19, you have the social distancing and then everything in the universe shut down for a while and then begin opening up in phases. And he said, you know, when first you could stay home and just watch services on TV, it was novel. He said, and you didn't have all the traffic to deal with. I said, oh, man, it's got to be tough for you. 5 minutes of from your house to here, and with a little humor there. But the reality is that after a while, you just hunger to be with Christians. I appreciate, and I wanted to share with you, that Esther texted me yesterday and said, Paul, can we come? Absolutely. Y'all come. We're opened up. And so we're just glad to have whoever wants. And so we're not going to break some numerical governmental statistic. We have the appropriate number here. And you're just welcome. And if in the coming weeks, in fact, this coming Monday, there'll be painters coming and checking out the paint for how much of the, because they'll be spraying a sealant on the exposed wood and such as that, and how much does it hang in the air? And when they move the pews out of the way, do they break up the tile, and is there hazardous materials? We'll deal with that as it comes. But we just told the contractor, we want to be here. We don't care about the tear-up. We don't care about the plastic. We care about God, and we'll be here unless there's some hazardous reason why we shouldn't be, and then you guys fix that, and we'll be right back here. We don't want to just hang out somewhere else or just go fishing. And so we appreciate being able to see each other, being able to hear little kids and hear them coo and gurgle, and I mean, it's just great. We're in a country that has problems, but is way, way better than other countries that have massive problems. Just yesterday on the news, I was looking at kind of a documentary showing in China, they have these, like I'll say, cell phone towers all over, and they have social credits on the phone. They track you visually and by your cell phone. And if you obey the government and don't create problems and say yes sir, no sir, and don't fuss at them, don't criticize them, you get a little green sticker. If you've been around somebody with COVID, you get a yellow sticker. If you've had the virus, you get a red sticker. If you are a troublemaker and you're, because they review your text messages, everything, where you go, what you say. And if you've been criticizing the government, you get a black sticker. You are a troublemaker. You can be arrested and will be re-educated. Man, our country is nutty. But hey, how'd you like to move to Wuhan? We'll give you a 3-month paid vacation and say, man, my scalp begins to crawl. I don't want to go there. Well, how about Afghanistan? They've got room. I don't want to go to Afghanistan. How about Argentina or Bolivia? I don't want to go there. I'm not interested in doing that. And so you could name all kinds of places that we could give you all expense paid vacation and say, thanks, but no thanks. I don't want to go there. Why? Because this country is good. It has growing pains. And it's up to us to do what we can. And others going to do what they choose to. There's enough food. It's joyous for laughter, whether little children or with friends or good humor. The joys of family and hugs and kisses and sunshine, God, friends, hope. Your home, modern medicine, a talent you have, flowers, growth, love. You know, there's all kind of good things we can think about. Rather than the particular pain or problem that we face, we thank God for good things. Just a couple others and then we'll conclude. In Psalm 139:14, David said, I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And we are amazing. Our body is designed to fight off bad stuff. It has all, you know, T cells and white cells and all these different things. Our body is a self-repairing organism. Wouldn't it be great if our cars were that way or our houses were that way? Okay, something breaks, the window breaks, the floor gets bad, the brakes, it just fixes itself. It isn't that way. God made us to be that way. Just a couple of things. In an adult, human body has 100,000 miles of blood vessels. God said, I need to get the nutrients and oxygen to all parts of your body. Your body produces 300 billion new cells per day and 25 million per second. You go, wow. I could stop right there and I'm happy. I just go, wow, God, it is so great what you've done. Stomach acid is so strong, they said, it can dissolve a razor blade. I don't know how you get it in there to test it, but maybe you get the acid out and such as that. Ounce for ounce, bone is stronger and more flexible than steel. The brain uses 20% of the total oxygen intake of your body. Your nose can identify, that is, your brain really interprets it and such as that, but it can sense 50,000 different scents. God, I am fearfully, wonderfully made, and I know it full well. God, you are so great. What did they give thanks for? Psalm 145, verse 10, for all you have made will praise you, O Lord. Psalm 148 and verse 3 says, praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. And we have a song along that line. And so I have a sun and a representation of our earth and a little moon going through its phases. of a spiral galaxy, of a quasar, which is a gaseous body with a supermassive black hole in the middle. Of course, it sucks in, by its gravitational power, anything within its reach, and then spews it out the other side with billions of times the mass of our sun. How do you weigh that? Wow. Galaxies with 100 billion stars per galaxy and 1 to 200 billion galaxies. It just, God, you are so great to create all of this. And I thank you. What did Bible characters give thanks for? Well, Ecclesiastes 4 talks about two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. And if either of them falls, one can help the other up. Think about the joy we have in one another's friendships. Paul did with Aquila and Priscilla. He said, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who for my life risk their own necks, to whom not only do I give thanks, but also to all the churches of the Gentiles. I am so thankful for the believers here and for the Christians we all know in other places that are faithful, have been friends for decades, maybe sometimes lifelong friends. Your hard work, your dedication, your sacrifice, your willingness to give, your desire to be together. It's just totally, totally inspirational. Colossians 1:13, he said, we give thanks to God for you, since we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all the saints. As we talk to others, not only here, as there'd be a hurricane and then we'd go down to Beaumont, Texas and other places and help rebuild. This past week, talking to others who were there and did the same thing. Jeff Gordner from Kent, and he went down in amazing capacity. But others' love and inspiration and sacrifice, and here that members, from the standpoint of giving, that we just keep on giving, whether or not the full body of us can meet, whether or not there's governmental restrictions, God's work goes on, and it's just thrilling. 1 Thessalonians 1:2, we give thanks for you always for your work of faith, your labor of love, and your steadfast hope. Christians, you're inspirational, and I want to thank you for all that you do and everything that you are. You're part of the family. So how thankful are we? Well, for God being a righteous God. He'll do everything what's right all the time, for his love and unending forgiveness, for the healing that we pray for and he grants, and every other good thing in life, for our amazing bodies, for his spectacular creation, and our amazing friendships. Psalm chapter 9 and verse 1, it said, I give thanks with all my heart. It's not a half-hearted, well, yeah, that's pretty good. God, with all my being, I thank you. And 30 and verse 12 says, and I will give thanks forever. Christians, that's who we are. That's who we need to be. And that inspires others when they say, you're for real. You're genuine. You say, well, that's exactly who I try to be. You're going to have that opportunity to live it out this week. As Christians, to demonstrate it in a loving way to others. I am this way only because that's what God taught me to be. And if you're at home, you're here, you're somewhere else in the nation, you say, you know, I need to have that kind of peace. I need to be that kind of thankful person, because maybe in your life you have been more negative and complaining and grumbly, and it's not a happy way to be, and you want to be better. You can be forgiven of your sins. You believe in Jesus Christ, don't you? You're willing to repent. I hope so. You would confess your faith in others, to others, of your faith in God, before Christians, before family, before whoever is ready to hear that you're willing to say, I'm a believer. I'm a member of the body of Christ. I'm a New Testament Christian. And then be buried in the waters of baptism. Because he's calling. He's always calling. He's encouraging us to respond softly and tenderly. And that's where we're going to start with the song, Softly and Tenderly. Are you ready to respond to the invitation of Jesus Christ? We hope so. God bless.